It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby is cooking.
Hey, hey, hey. Stop. Sit. Relax. Listen. This is the Sound Kitchen.
La 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 la. Aren't you glad you just sat and listened? Are you feeling peaceful and otherworldly? I always do when I hear that piece. Sometimes the beauty of it just makes me cry. That was the Adagio from Johann Sebastian Bach's Violin and Oboe Concerto, performed by violinist Nemanja Radulovic and oboist Sebastian Gio and the Double Sens Ensemble, whom I heard last week in a lovely concert here in Paris. I'm Susan Owensby. Welcome to the Sound Kitchen. As I say every week, you never know what you'll be served. And this week, it's a triple serving of music from Johann Sebastian Bach, the German composer who lived from 1685 to 1750. And although it's hard for me to say favorite with composers, I can with Bach. Not leaving out Beethoven, of course.
This is the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you will be served.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome is at his mixing board behind the glass window in front of us. And our co-chef, Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister.
Okay, listeners, there's more than one reason Paul and I call each other brother and sister. True, he's my baby brother because I am 30 days older than he is. But we're always doing the same thing at the same time. We have the same jacket, which we both wore the same day and looked at each other and said, no. We were reading the same book at the same time, and it wasn't a bestseller. It was a kind of, remember, it was, I can't even remember the title. It was the one set in one of those sweaty island countries.
England?
Anyway.
I can't remember. It was a memorable book.
It was a memorable. Anyway, it goes on and on. So last week, while I was at the Théâtre des Champs-Élysées, grooving on an all-Bach concert with the artists you just heard, and that you'll hear more from in a minute, Baby Brother was in London at the Southwark Cathedral, listening to his mom sing Bach's St. John Passion. And I'm not making this up. How was the concert, Paul? What'd you love the most, aside from all of it?
Well, the fact that Mum got through it and the choir got through it, it was a bit more difficult for in terms of their normal repertoire because they do Christmas carols and it's just amateurs. You know, people go every Monday for practice and the choir master has really got them from really simple things up to more complicated things. This one was in German. They've done stuff in Latin. It was hard work. The acoustics were great in Southwark Cathedral. And so there was a certain harmony about the music and the place. And the ambiance was great. They all sang brilliantly. And then they had professional soloists and a band and an orchestra, obviously, Sinfonia. It was just a marvellous couple of hours. And as I say, Mum managed to get through it. And we all just really thoroughly enjoyed it. She had me and my sister and a couple of great, great nieces and nephews who came along, in fact. So it's the grandchildren of her uncle.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it was her dad's sort of younger brother's grandchildren.
There's a quiz on that after.
Yeah, what does that make them? Anyway, that makes them something related, and you can see it because same forehead, same noses, and it's all genetics. We'd been an experiment. It was really lovely, and she did really good.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You told me about the moment in the piece that really got to you.
Yeah, it was, because obviously it starts, I didn't know it, and it just starts with the orchestra, and then the choir comes in, and it sort of pushes you back, actually. I wasn't expecting it, and then it came, and wow, and it hits you in the heart. And I thought, yeah, this bloke can really write.
That bloke can really write. Let's listen to it. Let's listen to it.
That was the opening chorus of Johann Sebastian Bach's St. John Passion, sung by the Netherlands Bach Society, conducted by Jos van Veldhoven, the oratorio that I heard my mother sing last week in London, with her local choir society, the Streatham Choral Society. Must big up the Streatham Choral Society and Callum the conductor, and that was at Southwark Cathedral in London, and it was first performed in 1724 on Good Friday at the St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, where Bach was the music director.
And this is all good timing, because we're heading into Holy Week for Christians. Next Friday is Good Friday, followed by Easter on Sunday the 20th. Now, I have to tell you more about the concert I went to here. I chose it because the program was four violin concerti by Bach, the Pearls, that often serve as an introduction to the great maestro's work. They did for me. They're like old friends. I'd never heard of the violinist, Nemanja Radulovic, nor his ensemble, Double Sens. And since the classical music world can be a bit stuffy, especially in the theater where he was playing, I was a bit surprised to see a young man come out with hair halfway down his back, a top knot on the top of his head, you know, where they, like sumo guys, where they have all their, they have a like a bun on top of their head.
Oh, yeah, it's the bun. Fashion now.
Okay. And big old platform shoes. Not exactly the cliche image of a classical violinist. He looked kind, I must say. He really did just exude good vibes. He gave this big, true smile to the audience. Then they played, and I was wowed. They were excellent. Violinist and ensemble alike. The audience went wild. And Paul, they gave five encores. I have never heard artists give five encores. At most, they'll do two. Maybe three. Maybe. But five? Here's one of them. That was the Chardash by Vittorio Monti, played with great joy and verve by the French-Serbian violinist Nemanja Radulovic. He was joined in this recording by the Chamber Orchestra of Cannes, conducted by Didier Benetti. Look him up on YouTube to hear more.
I'm DJ Du. Bonjour from Paris.
Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on the Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. Of March, I asked you a question about our article, Macron hosts European military chiefs to discuss Ukraine's security guarantees. French President Emmanuel Macron had just met with defense ministers from Europe's five main military powers for talks on the, quote, necessary rearmament of Europe, unquote, as well as military support to Ukraine, according to one of the French defense minister's aides. You were to send in the answer to this question, which five countries are Europe's main military powers? Paul, what's the answer?
To quote our article, France, Britain, Germany, Italy, and Poland. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question, which is more important, talent or hard work? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are... RFI Listeners Club member Helmut Matt, who hails from Herpoltsheim in Germany. Helmut is also this week's bonus question winner. This is what he wrote. I think both are important. Without work, talent cannot be awakened or nurtured. At the same time, however, all work is largely pointless if the talent is lacking. The German philosopher Martin Heidegger once said that people only achieve what they like. And I say that a true passion for something always requires the necessary talent. Congratulations, Helmut, on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week is long-lost RFI Listeners Club member Solomon Fesahazian from Asmara, Eritrea. Welcome back, Solomon. And Karobi Hazarika from Assam, India, who's also an RFI Listeners Club member. There's Hasina Zaman Hasi, a member of the RFI Amur fan club in Rajshahi, Bangladesh. And last but not least, RFI Listeners Club member Samir Mukhopadhyay from West Bengal, India. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. As you read on our website this week, between 2005 and 2024, levels of the two most harmful air pollutants, fine particles and nitrogen dioxide, fell by 55% and 50% respectively in Paris. Our article, Air Pollution in Paris Region Cut in Half Over the Past 20 Years, cites Air Paris, an independent group that tracks air quality, that the drop is the result of a mix of European, national, and local policies aimed at reducing emissions from road traffic, heating, and industry. Take another look at the article and send in the answer to this question. According to Air Paris, what are the policies that led to the reduction in Paris's pollution? What are some of the concrete steps that were taken? Again, reread our article, Air Pollution in Paris Region Cut in Half Over the Past 20 Years, and send in the answer to this question. What are some of the concrete steps taken that led to the reduction of pollution in the Paris region? According to Air Paris, what are those policies? You'll find our article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
It's from Jayanta Chakrabarti from New Delhi in India. And Jayanta's question is, suppose you find an old magical lamp which, when rubbed, a genie appears and tell you he will fulfill one wish. What would your wish be?
Okay. The music you're listening to, the reason Paul and I are laughing, is from a 60s television series that we want, me in California and Paul in London, called I Dream of Genie. And the genie was the gorgeous Barbara Eden.
So my genie wouldn't be a he, that's for sure. It would be a derivative of Barbara Eden. And my wish would be to have genie who would then give me all the wishes I wanted. So that one wish could become a million wishes. I think that's technically possible, isn't it? A genie which will fulfil your every wish.
I think so.
I can get round it. It seems a bit greedy, but I've been thinking this through, obviously, based on the Barbara Eden concept. And so, yeah, that was it. And as soon as I saw that question, I just went back to I Dream of Genie, and I've been listening to the music and just, well, crying really, because it's so good. I've got one of my children to watch it, because I think she came into the kitchen while I was watching an old copy, and I was just, my head was on the table just laughing. She said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm watching I Dream of Genie. And And so I played it to her, the music. She said, oh, that sounds familiar. And of course, the theme tune has been sampled by all these hip hop stars over the years. I mean, she never knew the roots of it. So that was
it. Did she watch any of the episode?
Well, she figured that if her dad was watching it, it must be okay, if a bit silly.
Okay.
And yeah, that's right. That's what it is. It's okay and a bit silly.
Well, I did love it, but I have to say, I just thought Jeannie was really pretty. I didn't have a 10 or 12-year-old boy's take.
Well, no, the take has come as I got older because I think, wow, you could have that. Whereas when I was 12, I was more into the astronauts and the rockets because the main character was an astronaut. So that was the exciting bit when I was about 12 or 13 until I got a bit older and realized, going up into space and leaving her behind is not my idea of sense.
Okay, we get it. Anyway, we get it.
Anyway, so what's your idea?
I'm going to go big. I would ask the genie for peace on Earth.
Okay.
And this pair of shoes that I am dying for. Oh, but we only get one. Yeah, Anta, what's up with that? You always get three. Why do you always only get one? Anyway, what about you? What would you ask the genie from the lamp for? Answer in your own words. Do not use AI. Your answer will be disqualified. Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 5th of May to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 10th of May to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code, and don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
Hi, my name's Olivia, and you're listening to The Sound Kitchen.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, which do you think is more important, talent or hard work? Let's start with Father Stephen Warra, who wrote, personally, I believe that the two have to come together on equal footing and blend to make for a better action or job. That was the most common response, that both are important. It is for Muhammad Abdullah, who wrote, both are important. Talent determines your potential and how far you can go. Hard work determines how far you do go along that line. Ditto for Debashish Gope. First talent, then hard work, he wrote, as did Razia Khalid. Dipita Chakrabarti wrote, without hard work, no talented person can succeed in life. Both go together. There are so many examples of talented writers or sportsmen who have become famous by working hard. My father often used to say, even if you are good at studies, you should still study hard to ensure you have good results. And those for whom hard work is more important than talent? That's the case for Radhakrishna Pillai, who wrote, hard work is more important than talent. Hard work is necessary to achieve goals. Even a talented person will not be able to achieve full potential unless he or she puts in the effort. Talent can provide an initial advantage, but hard work surpasses talent every time in achieving long-term success and having a better life. Abia Fatima agrees, and she wrote, no doubt being talented is a God-given trait, but hard work always beats talent through consistency and giving 100%. Rodrigo Hunrichse is also in the hard work school of thought. He wrote, for regular people, it's hard work. However, if you have a hard limit or incapacity, hard work will only take you so far. Amir Jamil wrote, "Talent demands efforts for improvement, growth, and progress. Talent refers to innate abilities or natural aptitudes that make certain tasks easier for some individuals and may give you a head start. But only hard work will help you win the race." Jayanta Chakrabarti wrote, "I don't agree with Susan Owensby. In my view, hard work is more important than talent. One may not be gifted with talent, but consistent hard work and sincerity are sure to bear fruitful results. There have been instances where, despite having promising talent, a person has been lazy and careless and has not exploited his natural skill and ability."
Okay, Jayanta, hard work does pay off. Here's my experience. I am not a gifted basketballer at all. But for over a year, I've tried to get my husband's socks in his drawer by throwing them from across the room. You know, you got to find a way to make boring tasks a little fun, right? At first, I never got any socks into his drawer. But now, a year later, I get almost every pair in. I think the National Basketball Association wants to hire me. I'm just waiting for that phone to ring. Okay, baby brother, who believes talent is more important than hard work?
Rafik Kondaker does, and so does Riaz Ahmad Khan, who wrote, "I think if someone has a natural talent, it is a gift from God, and thus he can make his name very easily." Nasir Mohammed does too, and this is what he wrote. "To me, talent is more important because it is naturally acquired, while an individual can achieve something through hard work by putting in more effort." They are joined by Ratan Kumar Paul, who wrote, "The most important thing is skill. If you have no skill, there is no value, and hard work won't help." We'll end with John Yemi Sande Toure, who shared a proverb with us from his native Sierra Leone. "If your brain fails you, your body will suffer." He explains, in this part of the world where I live, everything is based on age. So if you display a talent as a youth, elders will simply call you a small boy. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Jayanta Chakrabarti from New Delhi in India, is: suppose you find an old magical lamp, which, when rubbed, a genie appears and tells you he will fulfill one wish. What would your wish be? Thanks, Jayanta, for the suggestion. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at thesoundkitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
And a reminder, it is very easy to spot the AI-generated answers. They're bland and impersonal. They sound completely American, and they often have cultural references that do not come from your country. Bland and impersonal. The complete opposite of what the Listener's Corner is all about, which is about you, what you think, what you have lived. AI-generated answers are disqualified. That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating in your own words. And a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
It's been a dream. Thank you.
I am Erwan Rom, and I'm happy to be with you every week.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to our sound engineer, Erwan Rome, for his expertise in putting the show together, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, April 19th, for the answer to the question about Kirsty Coventry's Olympic medals. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose politically timely music for us. Traditional music from Greenland, the autonomous territory in the Kingdom of Denmark that U.S. President Donald Trump wants to buy. We're going to hear a field recording of chants and drums from the Inuit, the northernmost people on Earth who live in Thule in northwest Greenland. They were recorded by the late French ethnologist Jean Mallory, who led the first French geographical and ethnological mission to the north of Greenland in 1950 and is largely regarded as one of the top specialists on Arctic peoples. Who are the Inuit? You may know them by the name Eskimo, but that word is rarely used now. They're an indigenous people of the Arctic and subarctic regions of Alaska, Canada, and Greenland. The common ancestors of the Inuit are believed by anthropologists to have their origin in eastern Siberia, arriving in the Bering Sea area approximately 10,000 years ago. The Inuit in Greenland are the descendants of the Thule people, who migrated from western Alaska around 1000 CE. The traditional lifestyle of the Inuit is adapted, obviously, to extreme climatic conditions. Their essential skills for survival are hunting and trapping, as well as the construction of fur clothing for survival. The recordings Erwan chose for you were made by Jean Mallory in 1967 and 1972. So here we go. Chants and drums from Greenland's Inuits. Thank you, Erwan, for another musical journey. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing, be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week.
Hey, hey, hey. Ya, Hey,